good to have each of you this morning. It's good to have those that are visiting with us here in the house of God, and I trust the Lord will help you today. I've got something on my heart. I want to try to maybe teach or preach or whatever the Lord leads me to do this morning, but I really want to get this lesson across to us because I feel like it's a lesson that we really need to get a hold of and learn. And I want to be preaching on the privileges that are restored. The privileges that are restored. I'm glad that some things that's been restored to you and I this morning. I'm going to be reading, first of all, in the book of Romans, chapter number 5, if you have your Bibles. Romans chapter number 5. We'll begin reading in verse 1 of this chapter. The Bible said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Let me read that again. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, how was we reconciled? What does that word reconcile mean? To be brought back into favor with. Because the very instant that a person understands that they're lost, they're no longer in favor with God. They are declared an enemy of God. Now, you said here this morning, you said, wait a minute, preacher. I'm not saved, and I'm not God. Oh, yes, you are. Everyone that's lost is an enemy to God. Did you hear what I read to you? For when we were enemies, Paul said, when we were, that's everybody that's lost, when we were enemies, we were reconciled, notice this, to God, how? By the death of His Son. Now, how was we reconciled? Even though we were enemies, that God loved us so much that He brought us into reconciliation with His Son, and through the death of Jesus Christ, we are brought back into favor with God. Now, you got that. From lostness to favor with God. Now, listen to this now. Much more. Wait just a minute. Much more. Wait a minute now. He just got through saying we were reconciled by the blood of His Son. We brought back into favor. I could put it another way. We're saved. We've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what He's saying here. But He said, much more. Now listen to me. You that have sit and have not gone any further with Jesus Christ, you're missing a lot.
Amen.
You see, this life of a child of God does not end when we're brought back into favor with God, saved by His grace, declared to be the Son of God. That doesn't just end there. There's much more to this life than just being saved. Then He said, after you've been brought back into favor with God through the death of His Son, He said, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Wait a minute, God, I thought You said we've been saved by Your blood. There's something else that's got to be saved, evidently. And it is not the soul. Are you listening? So there's something else, and we're going to be saved by His life. Now listen. Listen to what He says. Now go a little bit further now. And not only so. Not just this now, He said. It doesn't end here, He said. And not just this, He said. But we also joy, notice this, in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Now, we have some privileges this morning. As a saved person, that you and I, as a child of God, washed in the blood of Jesus this morning, have the right. Because we are in a right standing with a holy God, we have a right to some things, to some privileges that we must take advantage of. Now, if we take advantage of these privileges that has been given to us through the blood of Jesus Christ, being born of the blood, and with being saved, there come some special privileges that has been restored to man. Now, let me just stop here and give you this. I think maybe I'm preaching to some folks that know a little bit about the Bible. In the garden, Adam and Eve, before Satan came along and they sinned and fell in the garden, they had an absolutely perfect fellowship with the Lord. You see, they knew the voice of God. Before that they sinned, they knew the voice of God, and the voice of God before they sinned, they commune with this God, and there was no fear. There was absolutely no fear on Adam and Eve's part when God would speak to them in the garden. They would commune with this God, and it was a sweet fellowship and a sweet walk that Adam and Eve had with God there in that garden. But something happened. They disobeyed God. They sinned. They eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which God commanded them not to eat thereof. For in the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. And he wasn't talking about a natural death. He was talking about the day you eat of this fruit, you're going to be cut off from a holy God. So that's what happened. And then God comes and shows up again. Now, let me show you the different reaction that they had the second time God come along after they had sinned. I believe before they had sinned, they was looking forward every day to the time that God had here, the God of glory, come walking in the garden. They could not wait to be able to talk with this God and commune with this God. Because everything was right in their life and they knew no sin. But when they sinned, it was totally different. The Bible says, here comes the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And when Adam and Eve heard the voice of the Lord God walking in that garden, what happened? They were absolutely gripped with fear. They became afraid. When they heard this voice, because, you see, they knew this God. They knew what kind of God He was. They knew He was a holy God and righteous God, and a God that demanded purity and righteousness. And they became fearful and afraid. I don't know how much this I'm going to get this morning. But what did they do? The Bible said that they went and hid themselves among the trees in the garden. They tried to hide from God. They no longer desired that talk with God, that fellowship with God. Why? Because it had been broken. They had then became the enemies of this God that they once loved. The same thing happens to a lost person. You see, a person can grow up and before they come to the age of accountability, and what I mean by that is before the Holy Ghost of God comes and begins to convict them and open their eyes and show them that they're lost, they have a sweet communion with God. There is no fear. There is a perfect peace in that individual's life. This little girl, Brother Stephen, that you have sitting by, she has perfect peace this morning. She does not fear anything that God could do to her. But one of these days, if this world were to stop saying, and she comes to the age of accountability, and the Holy Ghost comes and reveals to her she's a lost sinner, that she sinned against this God right away, this great fear, this fearfulness is going to grip her soul, and she's going to understand that I have been cut off from this holy God. I am no longer His friend. I am now the enemy of this God. How many of you remember when you came to that understanding that you were lost? What it was like. That peace that you once had disappeared, didn't it? That comfort that you had in knowing, well, you know, whatever happens, I'm going to heaven. That's the way a person is. You know, these little fellas, you ask them, where are you going when you die? They're going to tell you, I'm going to heaven. Because there's no fear, you see, in them. It's not there. So Adam and Eve sinned there in the garden, and they lost. They lost out with God. They became an enemy with God. And here in Romans chapter number 5, he said, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Now if you look that word atonement up this morning, That word atonement means a restoration has taken place. In other words, listen to me this morning. There are some things this morning that has been restored to you and I that are saved by the marvelous grace of God, that what we need to do is step out and step into these things and claim them and make them our own. Now listen to me, I don't know if I can get this over this morning. I'm trying to help you to see that your life in this old world that we're in, where the devil is ruling, where he's the king of this world at the present, that in this world, though you and I, though we have all this resistance, yet because that we've been restored to things that we need to step into and claim for our own, that we can have a victory in this world. We can walk victorious over Satan. We can walk victorious over every temptation, over everything that might come our way. Yeah. I've done lost some of it. I'm going to try to show you this morning. Now, turn over with me real quick. Keep that place right there. But turn over in your Bibles with me this morning to the 69th chapter of the book of Psalms. I'm trying to go slow because I really, from the very depths of my heart, I want you to get this. Because not everybody's walking in victory. And so many times we have lost the victory that was ours because we didn't understand what God has given back to us after we got saved. Now some of you would rather have your walk in this world than you have to have what God has to offer. But I promise you this morning, when I get through, you're going to see what God has to give you is far greater than anything the world has to offer.
Amen.
Look with me here in chapter number 69 in verse number 4. This is a prophecy. This is talking about Jesus and the crucifixion of Jesus. And He said, "They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mine. Then I restored that which I took not away." Did you get that? Did you hear what the prophecy was? Jesus, the prophecy is that Jesus, when He died upon Calvary, that's what I just read to you in Romans, that through His blood we've been reconciled, and that we've been brought back in. He's restored to us again those things that we had before the fall. Now, let me just stop here to interject this and let you understand this. Everything is not totally restored yet, but it will be. But there are many things that, through the blood and death of Jesus Christ, has been restored to us. And because of that, we can lay claim to those things. But also, because of that, when Jesus comes back, how many of you understand there is going to be a restoration in that day? There is going to be a jubilee like you've never seen before. We're studying, you know, the end time on Wednesday night. And we're going to get to this jubilee that's coming. Israel recognizes jubilees every 50 years, and there's one more jubilee. And that jubilee that's left to come is the coming of Christ, when all things is going to be restored as they were. Everything. That's when our bodies be restored. You see, with being saved, we didn't get a restoration of our body, but that will take place in the end time, in the restoration of all things. But many things this morning we need to understand is that God has restored them to us, even as we walk in this old flesh this morning, that He restored us those things that we might be able to walk in victory and we might not live a life of defeat. I really feel this morning there's too many people living in defeat today.
Amen.
As a child of God, you do not have to live in defeat this morning.
Amen.
You can live in total victory. You say, "Preacher, that don't sound right." Well, you need to study your Bible this morning.
Amen.
I am absolutely preaching nothing to you but what the Word of God teaches us. Let me Turn over to the book of Mark's Gospel, chapter number 16, real quick. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. All right, listen to this. Verse number 15. And Jesus, that is, said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Now wait just a minute. I'm going to throw something on you here this morning that you really don't want to accept. And you say, well, preacher, how come I don't want to accept it? Because you're comfortable in the little zone that you're in. And it's going to take a little better walk with God to obtain these things than it is in that little walk that you have this morning. Some people like that just a little walk with God, but they don't like much more. But you see, there's a great walk with God that He's given us. And I'm going to read you something here that people do not want to accept. But it is in the good Word of God. Listen to what Jesus said. He that believeth, who is that? Anybody that's lost that believes the gospel of Jesus Christ. Any man, woman, boy, or girl that's lost and recognize their loss and they believe the good Word of God, he that believeth and is saved. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, that don't mean you have to be baptized. I don't have time to deal with that. But baptism's important. That's why T and Ashley was baptized. It is important. That's the next step after salvation. Because everything was given to the church. Boy, this thing's getting bigger. This thing's getting bigger. Everything's given to the church. So you have to be baptized into the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. Amen. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's in you. And you're in Him. Because you're in the body of Christ. Amen? Amen. So through the church we have access. So now listen. And He said, in My name. Now some of you're going to really cringe when I give you this. But I'll tell you this, I thought about this, I prayed about this, I know I might get some backlash from this, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm ready to stand on thus saith the Word of God. I'm to the place I really don't care what people think anymore. Their opinions doesn't matter to me. What matters to me this morning is what this book has to say. That is, folks, that is absolutely the only thing that's going to count is what does the Word of God have to say. It's not what you think or I think. Or my opinion, or your opinion, but it's what the Bible said. How many of y'all agree with that? All right, listen to what He's going to do. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name shall they cast out devils. Oh, there you go. You done lost your stinking mind, preacher. I'm going to tell you what you do. Let me tell you what you argue with that book right there. Why is it we're so ready? Over there in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus told them the same thing, except He didn't go as far as Mark went. And if you've been here on Wednesday night when I taught on the Lord's Supper, every writer goes a little bit further on different things in the Bible. And if you'll read that, you'll learn that this morning. I ain't got time again. I don't want to get off on that running that dog. I just don't. But you see, you cannot. Here's the problem this morning. And in people's minds, they say, well, preacher, how come we're not casting out devils? You're not going to cast the one out you buddies with. Huh? You're not going to cast the one out that you fellowshipping with. You're not going to cast the one out that you seem to like his ways and what he wants for you to do. Because you see, all he wants you to do is what your flesh wants you to do. Because you see, understand this, my friend. He knows exactly what the fleshly man desires. And it's the fleshly man he tries to entice and drag off. So, you see, the fleshly man loves that. So he does not want to do what's necessary in order to gain the power that he needs to say, in the name of Jesus, I command you. You say, oh, come on now, preacher, here you are. I don't know if I believe that. I tell you what, anytime you want to sit down with the Word of God, you looking at the preacher, I ain't preaching one thing here and going to stand out there and tell you something else. I'm telling you exactly what the Word of God says. Anytime you want to sit down with it, I'll give you the book. You won't argue with the book.
Amen.
Pretty strong, ain't it? I don't think anybody wants to argue that book. You know what our problem is? We want to make excuses for ourselves. Let's just be honest with you. Every one of us is the same way. We want to make excuses for our own selves because we do not want to do what is necessary that we might have the fullness and the power of the Holy Ghost upon. Woo! Huh? Am I telling it right? So he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. They in my name shall they cast out devils. How many of you know there's power in the name of Jesus?
Amen.
I preached it enough around here that you ought to know there's power in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. That means anything and everything. That simply means if there's a devil in somebody, in the name of Jesus, you can ask it. That devil's got to obey you. Huh? Ain't that right? You can't argue with that book. Well, I've heard all kind of stuff trying to explain things away. The extent people go to try to, even preachers and everybody, we're all guilty. Try to explain something away when it's there in the Word of God and it's for our benefit and it's for the glory of God. Huh? Isn't it? Wouldn't God be glorified in a devil being cast out of somebody?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Absolutely. God don't want a man to be bound, so God give us the answer to it, how to free that man from the bondage of Satan that has him bound, and it's through the name of Jesus. Now, y'all just stop me if you think I'm not preaching it right. And I promise you, I'll give you the floor and you can take up and prove me wrong. That's pretty good, ain't it? Ain't many preachers I know give you that opportunity. Huh? You know why I give you that opportunity? That's how sure that I am that I'm right according to the Word of God.
Amen. That's right.
I'm confident. I'm positive. I'm assured because it's the Word of God. Because Jesus said it. If you believe this morning He told you to go therefore and baptize all men in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, I'll tell you what, this morning, that same Jesus spoke these words and He said, you should cast out devils in my name.
Amen.
Huh? Why are you going to accept part of it and not accept the rest of it? Huh? I'm going to tell you right now, people want to gather up with this little crowd that does not believe in the power of God. They want to just arm up and flow. We go with the flow, so to speak, because I don't want to upset my little boat. I'm enjoying this comfort zone that I'm in. But if I get out of it, I'm going to have to deal with the devil. You're not dealing with him because you're going the same way he's going this morning. Amen. That's the reason you're not having any problem with him. You're heading the same direction. Say
amen.
But the very moment that you begin to command him and use the name of Jesus like God's told us, I want to ask you this question. How many of y'all you believe in James chapter 5?
Amen.
Starting in verse 13 about if any of you is sick among you, let him call for the elder church. Let them pray over them, anoint them with oil in the name of Jesus. How many of you believe in that? How come you can do it for the sick? And how come you don't believe in using on devils this morning? Huh? That same name is the same name used there as you do use it on devils. It's an all-powerful name because that's the name of Jesus. Every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to confess to the glory of God the Father. Huh? Sure it is. I'm right. I'm absolutely right. I kind of had reserve about preaching this, but now I got to preaching, I'm loving it. Amen. Because, oh, God's in it. God wants you to know something. God wants y'all to get a hold of this morning. I know that because it's going to bring something in your life you ain't had before. It's going to bring victory in your life you ain't had before. You're going to be able to deal with the devil when he comes around and tries to entice you to do something. You say, get thee behind me, Satan.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
What did Jesus say? In my name. In my name. Not your name. Not some man's name. But in His name. Now let me ask you a question. What's His name? I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. That's good. Amen. It's Jesus. It's not Buddha. It's not Muhammad. It's Jesus. It's time we give Him glory, ain't it? Amen. Y'all say, you lost your love. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying losing my mind this morning. Amen. I'm enjoying it. It's all right because I know I'm right. Amen. Boy, when you know you're right, you can just go. I remember I saw this on television back in the 50s. Old David Crockett. Y'all remember David Crockett in Alamo?
Yeah.
He had a saying. It's amazing what'll stick with you. He had this saying, David Crockett, my hero. Boy, I thought he was the best. He got killed at Alamo, though. Amen. But he's still my hero anyway. He died fighting, amen. I mean, he didn't go down just for it. He went down fighting, amen. That's the way I want to end this war in this world with the devil. I want to fight, amen. Yes, amen. He made this thing. He said, "When you know you're right, go ahead. Nothing matters if you're right. Go ahead."
Amen.
I know I'm right this morning. That's why I went ahead. Amen. 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 And in my name shall you cast out devils. And they shall speak with new tongues. Amen. Whew. I know this is going to probably knock somebody's socks off. New tongues. Well, let me ask you this. What kind of tongues they speak on the day of Pentecost? That was amazing, wasn't it? That amazed everybody. Everybody was just totally amazed and blown away, if you please. Here's this German sitting here. And Peter's up there preaching. Peter's preaching in Greek. Huh? Huh? And here's this old Japanese. He looks like a Japanese, don't he? This old Japanese sitting here. Amen. That little goatee. And I look just like a Jap. Sitting here. Amen. Amen. We got this German, this Jap here. Look at this Frenchman sitting here. Yes, sir. There's that old Frenchman, man. Yeah. 17 different nationalities. 17 different tongues. They what? Wait a minute. Peter's speaking. He's speaking in Greek. Wait a minute. What did you say? They couldn't speak Greek. No, they couldn't. But they heard. They understood it in their own language wherein they was born. Say amen. Ain't that good? I'm talking about a God that can do everything this morning. I'm talking about it. God can reveal to a man. If a feller come in here this morning, I believe this same God. I believe this same God I'm preaching about. A feller walked in here. He couldn't speak a lick of English. All he could speak, he is there from Mexico, and all he could speak is that Spanish junk. I believe this morning the Holy Ghost could reveal to him. He could hear me preach in his own language. Say amen.
Amen.
Oh, y'all scared to death of that tongue, business angel. Huh? Oh yeah, y'all scared to death of it. Don't tell me you're not. Yeah. Amen. You're scared. You know what you're scared of? You're scared of the power of God's what you're scared of. What you're scared of, it's not the tongue, it's the power of God you're scared of now. And that's in our Baptist church. We're scared of the power of God. We just don't want to go too far with this. We just want to go. You're like old Pharaoh over there. He said, I'll tell you what you do. I'll let y'all go out there and worship, but don't you go too far.
Us Baptists are just about that way this morning. We don't want to go too far, you know. We don't want to go too far. We got our little comfort zone that we like to get in and worship in, but we don't want to go too far with God. I'm going to tell you the glory this morning is when you sell out to God and go all the way and say, okay, God, it's all yours.
Come on.
Huh?
Amen.
What was that David saying? They say, what was that David said? Just come to me. It's the old Vernon. Chapter number 40. David said, he had put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. Hey, brother, that'd be a new song for some of you, because bless the Lord, all you can do is cuss, rip, rare, and snort, and use God's name in vain. If you got saved, you'd speak in a new tongue. Amen? It wouldn't be none of this cussing, ripping, and rare and stuff you've got going for you. You'd quit that cursing God. You'd start praising God. Say amen. Pretty good, ain't it?
Amen.
He put a new song in my mouth.
Amen.
Huh? You remember how you used to blaspheme God? Use His name in vain?
Amen.
Remember that?
That's right.
Huh? And you got saved and you wouldn't want to do it? You wouldn't know where?
Oh, amen.
You couldn't think about cussing God and using His name in vain. Why? Because they put a new song in your mouth.
Amen.
Even praise our God. You know what you got? God will let you praise Him. Amen.
Amen.
He wants you to praise Him this morning. He wants you to give Him glory. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I ain't getting nowhere where I wanted to go. I ain't getting nowhere I wanted to go. Now listen to this. You know what? Listen to me. You ought to just cut loose. Hey, you ought to just cut loose and just go ahead and praise Him anyway, even though the devil don't want you to. Say amen. Just go ahead and lift your hands and jump up and holler and run around the building if you want to. Just go ahead and give glory to Him. He said He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And listen to this. People might see me and think I'm crazy. But David said, many shall see it and turn to our God. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with us. It's going like Joel going to the Baptist church, like going to a morgue this morning. Say amen. They need to see some life in the Baptist church and somebody praise to God. Brother, the Bible said that turn to the Lord when you begin to praise Him. Did you know there's victory in praise? Huh? But there, do you know there's victory in praising God? Go read your book over there, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. When those people begin to praise God, God discomfited the enemy and God give them victory. Say amen. I believe when the Baptist church begins to let loose and quits this graveyard religion that God and starts praising God, I believe we'll see people converted to God, because they'll see, man, they got something that I ain't got and I want it. Say amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I, Jesus said, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. It's your duty and my duty this morning to lift Him up in praise and glory. Just give Him praise and glory. Don't be bashful. Don't be ashamed of Him. Just stand up and say, bless Your name, Lord. I love You. Oh, preacher, you got sidetracked. No, I'm not sidetracked. I'm still on track, don't you? I ain't jumped track at all. Still on track this morning. Amen. I like old Brother David there, what he said. Amen. Now look here. They should take up serpents. We got some things restored to us, folks. You said, preacher, now don't start that. We're not going to bring no rattlesnakes. You bless you. You better believe that, right? We ain't bringing no rattlesnakes in here. I ain't picking up no blessing to rattlesnakes. No, sir. That's not what He's talking about, folks. See, don't try to get around the Word of God. That's not what He's talking about. Don't try to diminish the power of God this morning. What He's talking about, if a snake wants to bite you out here and you're doing the work of God, it's not going to harm you.
Amen.
How many of you remember the Apostle Paul? Chapter 28 of the book of Acts. He was cast upon that idol of Miletus. They were building a fire. He brought some wood over there, threw it on the fire. That viper came out, a venomous viper, beat him on the hand. They said, man, this man must have done something bad.
They look for him to fall down dead. Paul didn't bother him at all. That wasn't the morning red bug biting, son. Amen. And you know what it did? It caused them people to turn to God. They saw the power of God. I mean, it was a demonstration of the power of God. What we need this morning in our churches, we need a demonstration of the power of God. We need people this morning that's not ashamed of the Lord. Amen. To take up serpents. Oh, boy. And if they drink any deadly thing, it's not going to hurt them.
Amen.
Why? Because, you see, when you're doing what God wants you to do, God's going to take care of you.
Amen.
God's going to take care of you. It doesn't matter if you're walking in the Spirit, if you're walking in the light, if He's in the light. Listen to me. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. Hey, say amen right there.
Amen.
And you know what sin does? Sin is what hurts folks. Amen.
Right.
And if you're walking in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. What do you mean, preacher? As you're walking in that light, obeying the Word of God, doing what God says. That don't mean you're not going to sin or something. By the way, you're in this flesh. But when you do, you don't mean it. You do it. That blood of Jesus Christ is a continual, that word cleanses means a continual process. It's continual. As you're walking, now you've got to walk in light. You've got to walk in obedience to the Word of God. Now y'all see what I'm talking about here. Not everybody saved now is walking in obedience to the Word of God. So they don't have that privilege. They're not taking advantage of that privilege.
That's right.
Huh? Hard, just go ahead and preach and let Brother Jesse sing and see him in the room.
Amen.
And they shall lay hands on the sick. They shall die. It didn't say that? What did it say? They shall. Is that a positive statement? That's a definite statement. It means that if they lay hands on the sick, they will recover. Now those things have been given us in the privileges that God, they've been restored. Now that doesn't mean that we're taking advantage of all the privileges that God has restored us to. Huh? Now I know this is a little deep for Baptists this morning. I know this is a little deep for Baptists. You know, Baptists wants that there first, John chapter 3:16. That's a good chapter, but you know, he wants to go a little bit further than that. God's got a little more for us this morning than that. Amen? Well, let me just give you something real quick here and before I go to the message, okay? Ooh, somebody breathed deep there. I heard you. I heard you grunt. Amen? I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter number 3. He said, listen. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Oh, wait a minute now. Wait a minute now. I want to ask you something. I want you to be honest with me. Can your God do above everything that you could ask or think this morning?
Sure can.
Huh? Do you believe for one second that your God can do above all that you can ask or think? Well, evidently, a few of you do. Some of you don't. Huh? Aiken? Do you believe God's able to do it, see abundant love, everything you could ask for, even think about? You believe He can do it? I believe He can do it. He told us He could. But, wait a minute now. Him doing it is not the question. He can do it. He can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He can do it. That's not the question. The question is, how much of the power of God abides in us? Notice the next verse. He said, according to the power that works in us. It's according to the power. It's according to how much of the Spirit of God that's in us. How much? Now, wait a minute. Some of you might believe this. When I got saved, preacher, I got everything I'm ever going to get. Lord help you. That's why we're in the shape we're in. It might be all some people's going to get because they don't want no more. Huh?
Right.
Ain't getting too many amens.
Come on, man. Come on.
Think y'all gonna die on me.
Come on.
But it's according what God does. What God does. Now listen, folks. What God does for us,
those privileges He's restored to us, and what God does with those privileges and how He blesses us in those privileges, it will be according to the power of the Holy Ghost that dwells. How much? Of the Spirit of God that's in us. Now that tells me one thing. Everybody don't have the same amount. Preach your preacher revival message on Sunday. It's a revival message if you have it. If you take hold of this message, I'll tell you what, we'd have revival around here. I mean, if you get a hold of this message and believe it like I'm trying to preach it to you, we would have revival here like you've never seen before. Because we'd see things happen we've never seen happen. Amen. He said there's a restoration. What are some of the privileges we have? I ain't got time to preach that.
Come on, come on,
I ain't got time to preach that.
Come on. Come on. Yeah, come on, come on.
I appreciate that patience, sir. Let me see here. Looking for that scripture. Chapter number 2 of the book of 1 Corinthians. Now think about it. I'm talking about the privileges that's been restored. Things God give back to us when we got saved that we got to take advantage of. We got to step, almost like stepping into them. That's how we get them, okay? Look over here in chapter number 2 of 1 Corinthians. He said, verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared to them that love Him. How many of you heard that quoted? How many of you heard men even quote that and say, boy, there's things over there I ain't seen and there we hadn't heard and we can't know till we get there. Let me ask you a question. Is that what it says? You know why? You need to read the next verse.
Right.
That's the problem with people. They just read what they want to read and get what they want to get. But it is revealed unto us by His Spirit. What's those things hid or those mystery things? God right. can show us through the Spirit of God. I am telling you, through the Spirit of God, God can show you things and give you revelation that He don't give the average fellow.
Amen.
Now I want to ask you a question. I'm gonna quit. I got so much this I could preach tomorrow. I want to ask you something this morning. Do you want to be an average Baptist? Now you know what an average Baptist is. Saved, satisfied, and sit down. Huh? That's the average Baptist. Saved, satisfied, and sit down. That's the average. Do you want to just be that kind of Baptist? Or do you want to step into the privileges that God's give you and have those things restored to you as a child of God and really enjoy God, you see, when you do that, you can have joy unspeakable and
Amen.
Full of glory.
Right.
Well, let me read this. I read this to you one time. I'm going to go back and read it to you again over here in Romans. Over here in Romans, I'm going to read it to you again. Therefore, being justified by faith. Let me tell you, this is a privilege of ours. We have peace through God through our Lord Jesus Christ, wherein we have access in His grace, where we now sit. Now, let me tell you what. There's a lot of saved, satisfied, sit-down Baptists don't even have that in their life. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. They don't even have the peace of God. They might know they're saved, and that's all they know. There's a difference. There's a difference having peace in God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. There's a difference having peace with God and having the peace of God.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Did y'all know that? There is a preacher ain't no. Yes, there is a difference. I ain't got time to elaborate on that, but there's a difference.
Amen.
You get peace with God when you get saved. That peace of knowing that you're saved. Your sins have been forgiven. Okay? You have peace with God. But you get the peace of God by obeying the Word and stepping out into the promises of God and those privileges that God's got, just going deeper and deeper. Y'all remember that fella over there? Here's where we need to be. Over there in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47, when the temple was there, and the water was running out from under the door of the temple, and it was running down towards the river, and it run into a river, and wherever that river went, things come alive. We need that river too, don't we?
Amen. That's right.
But let me tell you, this fella began to walk out in that river, and he got ankle deep. That's about as deep as some people's got with God. After they got saved, they got out ankle deep, and they said, "Boy, I'm going to think I'll just stay right." They never went no further. He stepped a little bit deeper. Oh, man. Got the knees. A little bit deeper. It's up to the hips. Got a little bit deeper. And man, it's up around his shoulders. All is sticking out his head. Where are you at? Where are you at this morning?
Amen.
You want to get totally submerged, immersed, whatever, in the Holy Ghost? Let God just have all of you. Let God do with you what He wants to do with you. That's just pure truth, folks. Where are you at this morning? I'm going to close. Listen, give us a song, please. Listen. I believe I said all that God wants me to say right now. There's so much in this that I'd like to tell you this morning, but I have to wait some other time. Let me tell you, there's some privileges.